Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, February 28, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are studying a great passage in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 10. And let's start the corrected translation at verse 6. Therefore, we always have confidence. The we in verse 6 are winner believers. Believers who are making good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Believers who are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Believers who have had virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And therefore they have the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father. And that personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. And once you reach that point of occupation with Jesus Christ, you always have confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. And this is looking at winner believers, not looking at believers that are distracted by anything and everything that comes along, not talking about believers who are living in Satan's cosmic system by the power of the sin nature. It's talking about winner believers. Therefore, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, which is the tent, we are out of the house, out of the interim body and a future resurrection body, away from the Lord. Verse 7, For we, when we're believers, we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 8, we, therefore, when we're believers, are confident and courageous, I say, and for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, our human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, our interim body and future resurrection body. Verse 9. For this reason also, we keep on having as our goal, we keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase 2, or out of the house of our human body, phase 3, in our interim body and resurrection body, to be pleasing to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage makes it clear that the winner believer has a powerful mental attitude, a powerful mental attitude that drives him to accomplish the spiritual objective, which is to be pleasing to the Lord. The powerful mental attitude is developed by living the unique spiritual life that God has graciously given to us in the church age, by the spiritual skills, fulfilling the mandates of Ephesians 5:18, keep on being powered by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16, keep on walking, living your life by the power of the Spirit. And the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Not your plan, will, and purpose, but God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. The winner believer is well-pleasing to the Lord because he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all and occupation with Jesus Christ. The winner believer is well-pleasing and acceptable to God because he fulfills 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He walks by faith and not by sight. If you are not living the spiritual life, then you are living the carnal, reversionistic life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system, under the control of the sin nature, and you cannot please God. Romans 8, 5 through 8. The winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he lives his life in the light of eternity. The winner believer is well pleasing to the Lord because he has a personal sense of destiny and maintains the eternal perspective. It is extremely important for the royal family of God to develop and maintain the eternal perspective and have a personal sense of destiny, to live our life in the light of eternity, because we are all going to be evaluated by our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's coming up the verse 10. So in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, this great passage, there are four reasons given why it is so important for the church age believer to maintain the eternal perspective and have a personal sense of destiny and to live your life in the light of eternity. Four reasons. Reason number one is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Because our earthly house, our human body, is a skenos. It's a tent. And therefore, it is very, very temporary. While our heavenly house, our resurrection body, is eternal. Reason number two is in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 through 4. Because in this life on earth, there is suffering. While in heaven, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Revelation 21, verse 4. And reason number three is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. We are not to be preoccupied with the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And the Apostle Paul presented this and taught this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the material and visible, but we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the spiritual, the invisible. For the things which are seen are very temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And then reason number four, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, coming up, because we are going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be evaluated by Him for the decisions we make while we are here a very short time on this earth. So that's our next verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. And this passage, this verse is a prophetic passage concerning the church, the royal family of God, that will take place after the dispensation of the church age comes to an end. And this is the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. In the divine outline of history, we are living in the dispensation of the church age. Now, dispensational truth is the Word of God. It's the God-breathed scriptures. Sad to say today, dispensational truth is not taught in 99% of churches throughout this land. I've had people come in here, and I can still see some of them sitting in the back. And I was teaching dispensational truth. The next day, I get a phone call. Well, it was left on the message machine. And I listen to this idiot go on and on. Oh, yeah, you were talking about dispensational truth. That's all been proven. None of that's true. And went on and on and on. And I just wish he would have come up to me and talked to me so I could have punched him right in the nose. Jackass. Dispensational truth is absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And we are looking at some of the concepts of dispensational truth. And I've given you, last week we ended with 5 points. So let's review those 5 points. First of all, dispensations are divine categories of human history. 2, dispensations are both the divine outline and the divine interpretation of human history. The divine outline and the divine interpretation of human history. 3, there are many, many interpretations of history, but the only accurate interpretation of history is the divine interpretation given by God in His God-breathed scriptures, dispensational truth. Now, in the divine outline of history, we are living in the dispensation of the church age. And the church age began at Pentecost, and it will conclude with the resurrection or rapture of the church. 4, during the dispensation of the church age, there is an absence of prophecy. Unlike all other dispensations of the church age, is the only era in which no biblical prophecy will be fulfilled, with 2 exceptions. 5, the only prophetic events concerning the church age are its beginning and its termination. The beginning of the church age was prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16:18, John 14:16-17, John 16:7-14, Acts 1:5. That was Pentecost, and we see that in Acts chapter 2. Its termination is the rapture, and that was prophesied by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, and Philippians 3:21. So the only prophetic events concerning the church age are its beginning, Pentecost, and its termination, the rapture. That brings us to 6, which you don't have. 6. Jesus Christ is the key to the divine interpretation of history, including the future or prophetic history. Jesus Christ is the key to the divine interpretation of history, including the future or prophetic history. In His deity, Jesus Christ is the eternal, omniscient God. God is one in essence, 3 in personality. There is only one God. There are not 3 gods. There's one God. The name, singular, of the one God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 in essence, 3 in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have the very same essence and attributes. In His deity, Jesus Christ is the eternal, omniscient God who knows the future as clearly as the past or the present. The Bible is called the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The prophetic events that the Bible describes are selected to reveal Christ. Revelation 19:10 says, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." The church age stands between 2 periods rich in prophecy. The dispensation of the hypostatic union fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. While the 2 eschatological dispensations, namely the tribulation and the millennial kingdom, are described throughout the Old and the New Testaments. But The church age itself is a period of prophetic silence. No events of this dispensation are found in prophecy except its beginning, Pentecost, and its conclusion, the rapture. So, point seven. The next great event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture or the resurrection of the church. The next great event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture or the resurrection of the church. The rapture is signless and timeless. Nobody knows when it's going to take place. I thought for sure when the Knights won the Stanley Cup that the rapture was going to occur. But maybe they're going to wait till they win back-to-back Stanley Cups and then the rapture. I don't think that's anywhere in the Bible anywhere. Rapture is signless and timeless. But if you want to talk to me personally, I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture occurs tonight, tomorrow. The world is in, Satan is in high gear as he prepares the world, planet, for his man, the Antichrist. Our nation is toast. I love America. I love America. I love what that flag stands for. But our nation is toast. I got my ears lowered today. That's what my dad used to always say when he got a haircut. And the barber I get my haircut, I like this guy a lot. I've given him the gospel and given him the gospel booklet, and I think he's a believer in Jesus Christ, but he's very conservative. And he said, I just look and we are destroying ourselves in this country. I said, you are 100% correct. We are destroying ourselves by our own horrible decisions we are making. And I said, we are destroying ourselves from within. We may wind up being destroyed from without, but right now we're doing a hell of a job destroying ourselves from within. And I wouldn't be surprised if the rapture is in our lifetime. I know when I was, a lot of you, when you were in school and had a test coming up, you were praying the rapture would occur before the test. But just looking around at what's going on in America and around the world, we could very easily be in the rapture generation. So again, point seven. So the next great event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture or resurrection of the church. Eight. Immediately following the resurrection of the church, the rapture, all church age believers in resurrection bodies are assembled before the Lord Jesus Christ to be evaluated. Every one of us. No exceptions. Immediately following the resurrection of the church, the rapture, all church age believers in their resurrection body are assembled to be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Nine, this evaluation will take place at the Bema. That's the Greek word. We'll see that in verse 10. B-long-E-M-A. Bema. And the Bema is the judgment seat. It was the judgment seat, but this is the Bema Christos. The Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. And that's our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 10. Now, while the royal family of God is being evaluated by our Lord at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, this will go on in heaven, while the royal family of God is being evaluated by our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, the tribulation will be occurring on the earth. And it will be 7 years in length, which makes it appear that it will take 7 years for Jesus Christ to evaluate the royal family of God at the judgment seat of Christ. At the end of the 7 year tribulation period on earth, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth will take place, and the millennial kingdom of Christ will be established on the earth. Point 11. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the second advent, the judgment seat of Christ and our evaluation will have already been completed. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the second advent, the judgment seat of Christ and our evaluation will have been totally completed, and now we will return with Christ at the second advent as his bride. We return with him as his bride at the second advent. So when Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the second advent, the judgment seat of Christ and our evaluation will have been totally completed. Now we return as his bride. 12. The millennial reign of Christ on the earth is a 1,000-year celebration of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The millennial reign of Christ on the earth is a 1,000-year celebration of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. And this is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, what we are studying in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, is what is going to occur to the church following the rapture, following the rapture, and before the second advent of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. That is, every single member of the royal family of God, all of us, are going to be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evaluation is called the judgment seat of Christ. It takes place in heaven following the rapture. And while we are being evaluated in heaven, the tribulation is going on earth, 7 year period, after our evaluation is completed, and it'll evidently take 7 years for the, well, how many believers have from Pentecost to the rapture? Millions and millions of believers to be evaluated. And then when that's completed, the tribulation will be completed and the second advent will take place. So every single member of the royal family of God, all of us are going to be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evaluation is called Bema Christu, the judgment seat of Christ. All right, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, some exegesis. For we must all appear. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the accusative plural of pos with the definite article plus the present active indicative of dao, plus the aorist passive infinitive of phanerao. Verse 10 begins with the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. Now in this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, the conjunction gar is used five times. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, it's used five times. In verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 4, in verse 7, in verse 10. So in this great passage, gar is used five times. Paul uses gar in its illative sense to introduce the reasons why it is so important for the church age believer to have a personal sense of destiny and to live his life in the light of eternity. We're only here a short time, but we'll be in eternity forever. You ought to be living your life in the light of eternity, because the decisions you make in the short time while you're here will determine your status in eternity. And there's no equality in eternity. No equality. There will be winners in eternity. There will be losers in eternity. But you won't have any old sin nature. So when the losers are in eternity, the winners are not going to come up and go, oh, you know. No pointing any fingers, and there's no old sin nature with your resurrection body. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, gar introduces reason number four. Namely, because we are all going to be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. It starts out, tous pontos hemas. I'll give it to you in the Greek. This is always great. This is the stuff that really gets me cranked up. Tous pontos hemas. Well, tous, this is in the accusative, a definite article, T-O-U-S, definite article. And that definite article is used with an adjective pos, pontos is the adjective pos, again in the accusative, P, why do I write it? Even so come, Lord Jesus. P-A-N-T-A-S. That's the adjective pos. So here's the adjective. But here's the definite article. And that definite article makes this adjective a noun. Wahoo! And this is the personal pronoun in the accusative, ego. And this is H, long E-M-A-S in the accusative. But this is the personal pronouns. So we have a very unique, we have an adjective turned into a substantive, a noun, and here's the personal pronoun. And tous pontos hemas is correctly translated, we all. We all. We all refers to every single church age believer. It refers to every member of the body of Christ, every member of the royal family of God. We all, very emphatic. So one, we all says that this evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ will have 100% attendance, unlike coming to Upland Bible Church for face-to-face teaching. 100% attendance. No excuses. You can't call in sick. Say, I'm sick. No one will be on vacation during the judgment seat of Christ. 100% attendance. Not like some of you in this coming to for face-to-face teaching. But when the judgment seat of Christ takes place, 100%, no excuses. Two, this is a 100% mandatory, compulsory, inevitable evaluation by the Lord Jesus Christ that every church-age believer will face. This is a 100% mandatory, compulsory, inevitable evaluation by the Lord Jesus Christ that every church-age believer will face. The accusative case of the adjective pos and the accusative of ego is the accusative of general reference. Now that's important. The accusative of general reference functions as the subject of the infinitive of the verb phanerao, to appear. Three, we all is the subject of phanerao, that is, we all are going to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's phanerao, to appear. We all are going to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for evaluation. And must appear is actually two verbs. Phanerao, appear, and deo, which is translated must. Phanerao means to reveal, to make known, to show. In the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be made known, to be revealed, to appear. But the key word here with phanerao is deo. D-E long O, deo. A couple of things on this. This is a very special and powerful word. One, the verb deo is an impersonal verb of compulsion. A verb of compulsion. Two, deo means it is necessary, or one must do something, or one has to do something. So it means it is necessary, one must do something, one has to do something. Three, in this case, the church-age believer must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In this case, the church-age believer must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Four, deo tells us that the judgment seat of Christ is compulsory for every church-age believer. Compulsory for every church-age believer. Five, deo means that this evaluation before the Lord Jesus Christ is unavoidable. It's inevitable. It means that this evaluation before the Lord Jesus Christ is unavoidable, inevitable. Six, deo tells us that the judgment seat of Christ is the destiny of every church-age believer. 7. Now with this, the verb phanerao that's P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O. There you see it, the a-o ending. And the a-o ending is causative. That is, every member of the royal family of God will be caused to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Following the rapture of the church, every believer will be caused to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing this evaluation in its entirety. The passive voice, church age believers, will receive the action of being caused to appear before the bema seat of Christ. The infinitive is epexegetical, completing the idea of the main verb, and the main verb is the verb of compulsion, deo. Corrected translation, for we all must appear. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is the improper preposition emprosthen, plus the genitive singular of bema with the definite article and the genitive singular of Christos with the definite article. Emprosthen. Looks like that in the Greek, E-M-P-R-O-S-T-H-E-N, emprosthen. Emprosthen is an improper preposition. No, I hate those improper prepositions. We want proper. An improper preposition is an adverb that is used as a preposition. Emprosthen means before or in the presence of, and then we have bema and Christos. B, long E, M, A, bema. Bema means a judicial bench. A judicial bench or a judgment seat. Now there were, in the time of the Apostle Paul, there were bema seats, judgment seats, judicial benches throughout the Roman Empire. In fact, the Apostle Paul was brought before one in Acts chapter 18, verse 12. Turn over to Acts 18, 12. Acts chapter 18, verse 12. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the bema, the judgment seat. So it was a judicial bench, a judgment seat, and they brought Paul. They hated Paul. Here is the greatest believer of the church age, a winner believer, a believer who communicates the grace and truth of God. And most of the people that heard Paul hated him. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. They rejected what he taught. And here they brought him before the Bema. Now there were, that characterized most. You know what? That's true today. With sound doctrinal Bible teachers, most believers reject, are antagonistic, hate it, don't want it. The same thing today with sound doctrinal Bible teachers. No different than in Paul's day. He was the greatest Bible teacher of all time. We have the same thing going on by Christians today. So the Bema, or judgment seat, was well known to the Corinthians. Acts chapter 18, verse 12. But this is the Bema Christos, a unique judgment seat. Oop. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Christos. This is the judgment seat of Christ. For we all must appear before the judicial bench, the judgment seat of Christ. Now we have the purpose of our appearance before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. This is hina plus the aorist middle subjunctive of komizo plus the nominative singular of the adjective hekastos plus the accusative singular of the definite article ta plus the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of soma with the definite article. Well, you've seen this many times, hina plus the subjunctive. And you know that many, many times this introduces a purpose clause, and it does here. Hina plus subjunctive introduces a purpose clause. And then the adjective hekastos is used as a substantive, a noun. Hekastos. That's H. E-K-A-S-T-O-S, hekastos. It's used as a substantive, a noun, and you translate it each one or everyone. Each one, everyone. And then the verb komizo. K-O-M-I-Z, long O, komizo. A couple of things. One, in the active voice, komizo means to bring something. To bring something. That's the active voice. We don't have the active voice. In the middle voice, which is what we have, it means to receive. To receive. Three, komizo means to receive in the sense of receiving pay or wages. It's used of receiving a reward. It is receiving a recompense or what is due for. Therefore, komizo has the idea of receiving your just do. Komizo has the idea of receiving your just due. Now, what is this judgment seat? It's Christ's judgment seat. And you will receive your just due because Jesus Christ is God. He knows, He knows you in. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows every decision you have ever made. And as you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, He will know whether you're winner or loser. He will know whether you live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum, or whether you lived in carnal, reversionistic life in Satan's cosmic system. Wherever you are in between, and you will receive your just due. This is the principle that you will reap what you sow. You're all sowing. You see, you're here to make decisions. In the short time while you're here on planet Earth, you're here to make decisions. Good decisions or bad decisions. You're the product of your own decisions. Nobody else's fault. It's your decisions. You're the product of your decisions. And this is reaping what you sow. The accusative plural neuter of the definite article, ta, T-A, is the things. And then the preposition dia plus the genitive is used as a preposition of time. And Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 178, tells us that when dia is used as a preposition of time, it denotes extent of time. Extent of time. Over a whole period of time. As a preposition of time, dia may be correctly translated during, while. During a while what? While you're living in your body from salvation to physical death. That extent of time. From the moment of salvation to physical death of the rapture, that's the extent of time. While you're in your body after salvation to physical death. And soma, S long O M A, soma is the Greek word body, your physical body. So the extent of time refers specifically to the church age believer living in his human body from salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. All right, corrected translation. For we all must appear before the judicial bench, the judgment seat of Christ, for the purpose that each one may receive his just due. For the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body. From salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. Got that? For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due, reaping what you sow, for the things while living in the body, from salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first. And then it says, according to that he hath done. This is the prepositional phrase pros plus the accusative plural neuter of the relative pronoun host plus the aorist active indicative of proso. So we got the preposition pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S. Pros plus the accusative means according to a Norman standard of or in accordance with, and then the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S, hosts, which can be translated who, which, what, that. And Arntgen Gingrich, The Greek lexicon, page 587, tells us that a demonstrative pronoun is frequently concealed within the relative pronoun, as in our verse. And therefore, it should be correctly translated, in accordance with those things that, or in accordance with those things which. So we have a demonstrative pronoun concealed in the relative pronoun. So he translates, in accordance with those things that, in accordance with those things which, and then we have the verb proso. P-R-A-S-S long O, proso. Couple of things. One, proso means to do. In accordance with those things that you do, or to accomplish. In accordance with those things which you accomplish. Two, those things you have done fall into two categories here, agathos and phallos. So first of all, agathos. All those decisions you make, from salvation to physical death of the rapture, they fall under agathos or phallos. Those things you have done which are agathos are those things which are divine good production, intrinsically good. Agathos is intrinsically good, divine good production. And then three, those things that you have done which are phallos are those things which are worthless, bad, evil, base, the bad decisions you have made from salvation to physical death or the rapture. So your decisions, you're going to be evaluated. What you have done, is it agathos, intrinsically good, or is it phallos, worthless, bad, evil, base? If it's phallos, that means you were living in Satan's cosmic system, living by the lust patterns of your sin nature, living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. If it's agathos, well, you were living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, the filling of the Spirit. You grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and you had maximum divine good production. And that is what is intrinsically good. But you're going to reap what you sow. You're either going to sow agathos, or you're going to sow phallos. And the one who knows is Jesus Christ. And you know, you can fool a lot of people. You can fool me. It's easy to fool me. You're not going to fool Jesus Christ. He has all the facts. And you think you're going to be here a long time? I got news for you. You're here today and gone tomorrow. And so you need to live your life in the light of eternity. And live your life in the fact you're going to be evaluated by Jesus Christ. And there's no equality in heaven. There's winners and there's losers and everything in between. No equality in heaven. For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the purpose that each one may receive his just due. You reap what you sow. For the things while living in the body, in accordance with those things that he has done. Well, that's as far. We haven't finished. We haven't got to whether it be good or bad. I kind of gave you a preview. We'll come back next week and we will take a look at good or bad. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.